So we're reading this morning from, what is it? 9:11:7. They asked me to choose a verse, so this is what I chose. So good to be with you all again. I offer my respects to you, O Brahmins, because even the Supreme Personality of God, it takes you as his worshipable deity. Therefore, how important is it to be sitting in front of you? My gosh, what can I possibly say? The only thing I can do is repeat what my seniors have told me. And if I can find it on my memory device, and I will do it. Would you like to hear a story? Yes. No? Okay. Let's see if it's here. So, the thing is that we find the notion of dharma is what separates human beings from animals. Animals can very rarely make a choice between what is right and what is wrong. Human beings can make that choice. So as a human being, it's very important to know what's the right thing for me to do and what's the wrong thing. What should I not do? What happens if society says that it's the right thing to do, but it's actually the wrong thing to do? Because society may have many fashions. In the 1950s, we used to have a fashion for doctors coming on American television, smoking cigarettes. And the doctors, dressed in their coat with a stethoscope, would tell you, I smoke such and such. It's fresher. It leaves me... Another doctor would give an endorsement. We used to think that DDT was a safe thing to spray on chemicals. We used to think, but now we know, as Prabhupada said. We used to think, but now we know better. Isn't it? 2009. If anybody disagrees with something, right, whatever it is that you disagree with, especially on Twitter, especially if you disagree with someone, what do you call them? You fascist, you Nazi, you... But when you've got done with that, you say, for God's sake, it's 2019. As if to say, human society works in a linear progression from ignorance to knowledge, and we are now at the cutting edge of knowledge. Does anybody here, sitting in this room, thinking this morning, that human society is on the cutting edge of knowledge? Or do they think we're going backwards? And this is the thing. If you think that we're actually on the cutting edge of knowledge because we can take pictures of a black hole 40 billion miles across in space, I'm not denying that there is actually a black hole. And let's not get sidetracked down that particular black rabbit hole. But what I'm saying is, if you think that we are... yesterday, Israel... became the fourth nation to put some wreckage on the surface of the moon. They didn't quite land, but some wreckage dropped on the moon. So the point is, these are not indicators of progress. You put wreckage on the moon, but the rubbish is piling up on the earth. Okay? People are starving here on earth. Is that a very good combination? Have we actually progressed? If you think that we've progressed, then when you say, for God's sake, it's 2019, it means that we are living in the most liberal of all times. And nothing that we have painfully worked towards now should ever be changed. And you will have a problem with everything that's ancient. Therefore, when our devotees go out into the street to preach, they say, oh, these ancient scriptures. As soon as a person hears the word ancient, that's the person who's saying, for God's sake, it's 2019. The person who hears ancient scripture, they will go, well, of course ancient scripture says this, because it's wrong. They used to believe in sky gods. They used to believe in deities of smallpox. Now we've sorted it all out. Okay, now we've sorted it all out. The world is... So, how are our devotees in this? Are we trying to replicate the ancient world? Or are we trying to honor the progress of science? What are we trying to do? That's why our devotees become confused. It says in the ancient... Yeah, that was a long time ago. Okay? And so how it was done in the 1960s becomes the optimum way that society should be organized. because Prabhupada, that was the golden era of ISKCON. Whatever we did in the 1960s as sacrosanct can never be changed. I was a kid in the 1960s. I was a brahmachari in the 1970s. Every 3 months, there was a letter from Srila Prabhupada saying, now, we have done it like this, but now we should do it like this. Isn't it, Kishore? Now this is the way we should do it now. From now on, henceforward, now we're going to do it like this. Prabhupada was dynamic, not static. He was ecstatic, which leads to dynamism, which leads to change. We need to change. In order to spread Krishna consciousness, we need to change. In order to be Krishna conscious, we need to change. But what you change and what you keep, that's called vivek, discrimination. Discrimination is not a bad word, boys and girls. Discrimination is a good word. It means, should I put my foot here on the zebra crossing in London? The answer is yes. Put your foot on the zebra crossing. It's black and white stripes will guide you and people will stop for you. If you're in Delhi, black and white stripes on the ground, you know, you don't have to know what the black and white stripes actually mean to take your driving test in India, because you'll drive over them anyway. Why are you in the middle of the road? It's my road. I'm in a car. I'm bigger than you. I'm faster than you. Why were you walking? I was trying to... He walked over the road while I was trying to drive. Okay? Or if you're a lorry driver, the car got in my way. I tooted my horn, but he didn't get out of the way, therefore I hit him. So in order to have vivek or discrimination, you have to have jnana. Jnana brings about vivek. You have to know what to choose, how to choose, when to choose, what to keep and what to let go to the side. And then when you know these things, then you'll be able to practice dharma. Well, where do we know about the original dharma? It comes from the Katha Upanishad. There was a young man whose father had given something very badly in charity. You know, if you're in a temple, sometimes you'll get charity from some people, isn't it? This is the joke. This is the Indian joke. Bad charity. I gave something to the temple. What do you give to the temple? I gave a cow that no longer gives any milk. I couldn't afford to keep the cow, so I gave it to the temple. She was old. I gave my car that was broken. I gave it to the temple. Just see how great charity I'm giving. The broken drum, I gave that to the temple also. So I've given a drum, a cow, and a car. Just see how generous I am. Is this generosity or charity in Kali Yuga? But it doesn't take Kali Yuga to be so supposedly generous. There was, what was his name? Nachiketas. Nachiketas, his father was a Paka Brahmin, but he gave some bad charity, you could say. And the boy came to his father and said, Father, he said, what are you going to give me? Are you going to give me in charity? Who are you going to give me in charity to, Father? Are you going to perform another act of charity? And Father said, I give you to hell. Go to hell. It's not a new invention. Every father at some time has said, go to hell. And Nachiketam took him seriously. So he went to see Mrityu, the god of death, otherwise known in the Srimad Bhagavatam as the god of rules, the king of rules. Who is that? Yama Raja, the king of rules. So he went to see him, but he wasn't in. And his wife said, oh, no, he's, you know, you have to wait. Please sit down. Here's some water. So when Yamaraj came back, he said, oh, I'm so sorry, you're a Brahmin. I've kept you waiting. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. I've kept you waiting. Now you can ask me for 3 boons. Okay. Have you ever had a boon? We read about them in the old books, don't we? A boon. I wish I had a boon. Just one would be good. What to speak of 3? So he had 3 boons. He said, I can give you anything you like, anything that's in the world. He said, there's only one thing I want. He said, what's that? He said, I want to know what happens after death. He said, well, that's my secret. That's my secret. I get to know what happens after death, not you. You're mortal. I'm immortal. So don't ask me that question. Anything else you can ask? He says, no, that's the only question. He said, you said I could have 3 wishes. Give me my wish. He said, look, on this chariot here, beautiful golden chariot, you see these princesses, you see the gold, see the rubies, see the diamonds. I'll give you this. Don't ask me that question. said, I'll give you another chariot, silver chariot. Okay. He said, no, no. He said, I only want what I want. He said, oh, very well. He said, then I'll tell you. And in the course of his instruction, he tells him not only what comes after death, but he tells him how to avoid the bad after death and to have the good after death. So that's why the Upanishads are the beginnings of all proper jnana. But one thing he says is that Isha said, the biggest vivek you should have, the biggest discrimination in life you should have that leads to dharma is to know the difference between prayas, what is pleasing, and shreyas, what is good. What is immediately pleasing and what is good for you. Huh? Because if you forsake one and you choose the other, this is dharma. You see? This is dharma. Very simple. So when Patanjali Muni was writing his yoga sutras, I deal with a lot of yogis these days. It's the thing. You know, we used to go to Glastonbury and find people, Kishore. Now we go to yoga studios, and they're ready for it. They want to know what kirtan is. They want to know what the Upanishads are. They want to know what japa is. That's fun. They're there. So Patanjali Muni, who wrote the Yoga Sutras, the handbook for yoga, he said, actually, there are a list of do's and don'ts in yama and niyama. He said, but these are like the footprints of small animals in the jungle. He said, but the big footprint of all that covers all the small footprints is the elephant. And when the elephant puts his foot down, it covers the tiger, the leopard, the deer, the snake. He says, and this is ahimsa, ahimsa. To live with the idea that I shall commit no violence, to live with the idea that all beings are equal, worthy of compassion, and to act in mercy. So Lord Ramachandra, he begins at the beginning, and he tells the story of the... did he tell the story to the monkeys? He's telling the story to the monkeys? Anyway, there's a breathless man and a monkey up in a tree, and they're sharing the same branch, and they're both running away from the tiger. And the discourse begins with the tiger is looking up into the tree. He says, oh, monkey. He says, oh, monkey. Psst. He says, I'm very hungry. I've developed a taste for human flesh. This human sitting beside you, although he's on the same branch of the tree, he doesn't have your interest at heart like I do. We're creatures of the forest. He is not. He shoots you sometimes. Oh, not shoots you. He shoots you with arrows sometimes. He chases you. He sometimes even cuts down the trees that give you fruit. He says, push him off the branch. Push him off the branch. So the monkey doesn't push him off the branch. So then the tiger says, this is nonsense. Then he turns to the human and he says, you see this monkey sitting beside you? He steals all your fruit. He steals all your fruit. He chases your children. He sometimes bites your children. He said, I've developed a taste for flesh. He said, push him off the branch. So the human being, without any thought, he says, all right. He says, if you eat him, you won't eat me, right? That's the deal. He says, yes, I won't eat you. So then he pushes him off the branch. And the monkey falls down in front of the tiger. The tiger looks at him. He said, you see what sort of people these are? You see who you're dealing with? He said, I don't want to eat you. I can get a monkey anytime. I want him. I want the human. Now get up there and push him off the branch. So the monkey goes up. And he sits on the branch. And the tiger says, okay, push him off. Push him off. And the monkey says, just because he pushed me off doesn't mean that I should now push him off. He says, even though I'm a monkey and I don't know dharma, and he's a human and he knows dharma, but he didn't follow it, that gives me no excuse to push him off the branch. So I won't push him. So Lord Ram tells the story. I think he's trying to influence the monkeys and upgrade their dharma a little. So in our stories of Ram, we have Lord Ram is, of course, very well loved. Any Indian child is brought up with the name of Ram. and the identity of Ram and the stories of Ram and the TV shows of Ram and the Bollywood movies of Ram and the picture comics of Ram and prayers to Ram. Ram, 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 Ram. That is why when people come to the temple, they will often pray to Ram rather than Krishna. Because if I pray to Ram, Ram has said, if you surrender to me, I'll protect you. Okay. Krishna said the same thing, but we're not quite sure because sometimes Krishna tricks people. You see? Krishna can be a little tricky. He said he wouldn't fight on the battle of Kurukshetra, but he did. He picked up the wheel. Okay. He gave some advice, about the Ashwatthama, the elephant, and so Krishna sometimes, just for other reasons known to him, he breaks his promise. But Ram will always be dependable. So you will see a great affinity to Ram. And this affinity to Ram goes everywhere. Even in Cambodia, you'll find the whole Ramayana chiseled into the temple walls of Angkor Wat, the biggest temple in the world. You see? There's a Ramayana story in Ethiopia. There's a Ramayana story in Africa. Ramayana goes into Thailand. And even today, the king of Thailand is always addressed by the name Ram. The king of Thailand is always Ram. Ram something, Bhumi Ram or Ram Bhumi or something like this. So people when they, in India, when a politician wants to seduce his audience, as they often do, he promises them Ram Raja. I'll give you Ram Raja. And he's around election time. He has to make sure that he's pictured going into a temple, and so that everybody can see how pious he is or she is. So Ram is sort of the default God, if you like. And therefore, people pray to Ram. Whatever deity you are waking up in the morning, you'll sing the prayers that Kaushalya chanted to Ram to wake him up in the morning. So how does it go? You're from India? Those of you from India, if I say the word Kaushalya, no? Oh dear. Sanatan Dharma. We have to keep it alive somehow. So the Ramayana, the whole story, although Lord Ram's reign was many thousands of years, the Ramayana only really is concerned with 14 years. So if you're writing a biography of a person who was a king for a very long time, the time when he was in exile would really be, kind of a one chapter or something, or even half a chapter. If your life is this long, okay, if I was to write your biography at the end of your life, okay, the time that you spent in the ashram is probably about a year. No, it's going to be forever, boys and girls. You're forever in the ashram. So why is there such a focus on the Ram in exile? Because that is where all the relationships happen, where the Sharanagati happens, the surrender to Ram. And this surrendering to Ram happens in each of the seven divisions of the Ramayana. In each of the seven divisions of the book, we find this principle of Sharanagati. Someone surrenders to the Lord. And they do in different ways. Some by their voice, some by their actions, some by their mind. So by voice is called Vachika Sharanagati, mind is Manasik Sharanagati, and then activities is Kayika Sharanagati. But you do this surrender to the Lord, and this is the beginning of devotion. The beginning of the beginning is when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to, who was it, Sanatana or Rupa? I always forget which. He says, Brahmanda Brahmite Konabhagyuan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. We kind of treat this as not very important because it's history for us, isn't it? If you're sitting here listening to this discourse, your Bhakti Lata Bija was planted a very long time ago. So it's kind of history. It's kind of, oh yeah, it's kind of like it happened. I came to the temple and then I started chanting and then here I am. So we want to deal with it. We want to deal with the here and now. But this is an epic of epic proportions. The moment when a jiva turns again to the Lord, It's even talked about in two of the Upanishads, where the two birds are in the tree, and one of them turns and looks at the other bird who's witnessing. This is a great moment. It's a wonderful moment when a person surrenders. Where does surrender begin? It begins at the beginning. Brahmanda Brahmite. After many thousands of years of wandering in the material universe, we find knowledge through a guru who teaches, who brings us to. So what is the guru? Krishna explains, doesn't he? Very interesting explanation. You see, when Krishna says, just try to approach a guru, 434, to Arjuna, they don't have much time. They really don't have much time. So that's all Krishna says. With Uddhava, he says, this is how it happens. He says, there's three stages in the guru reaching out to you or you reaching out to the guru. He says, first of all, your own mind is your guru. Brahmanda brahmite kona bhagyavanja. I'm sick of all this. There must be some way out of here. Is this all that there is? These people are crazy. There must be another way of life. And then the living entity begins looking. Second thing, Krishna says, and he tells the story of the young boy with the 24 gurus. Okay? Everything in the world seems to reflect divine knowledge to you because that's what you're looking for. Seek and ye shall find. If you're looking for divine knowledge, it will find you. So that's why sometimes people say, you know, when you're looking for the guru will come. So Krishna says, but you may end up with 24 gurus. And that's fine. That's the way you are encountering the, what is it? Samasti guru. The Samasti guru and Vyasti guru. Vyasti guru is, what is it? The one guru that you eventually settle on. And Samasti guru is the guru which is everywhere. Because the Lord, as Paramatma, is giving you information all the time to wake you up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. And then finally, you find that person who wakes you up the most and who helps you towards the bhajana kriya, who teaches you how to do activities of devotion. So this is the long process of sharanagati. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says sharanagati is not quite bhakti itself, but it's the threshold of the house of bhakti. It's the door of bhakti. So you need to go through sharanagati to get into the house of bhakti, but you're over the doorstep when you do the sharanagati. So get in. Get into the house. Open the gate, walk down the garden path, see the front door in front of you, and walk over the threshold. And when you walk over the threshold, of course, you will reach a tipping point in your consciousness whereby you want to reorient your consciousness to one of the right way. That you're not the center of the universe. That's a good beginning. You're not the center of the universe and you're not in control. So there is a center, there is a soul of the universe. You can call him God or Brahman or Rama, whatever you call him. You don't know at the moment because you're just on the threshold. But you know it's not you. Because you're suffering so much. Either you're suffering or you have this thirst for knowledge. Either which means that there's something in you that's not complete. So, sharanagati. So in every of the seven khandhas of Ramayana, we find sharanagati. In fact, the whole of the Ramayana echoes to us. There's a little trick with the Ramayana. Ramayana is 24,000 verses. 24,000 verses. Srimad Bhagavatam is how many? 18,000 verses. So Ramayana is very long. It's longer than the Bhagavatam. That's a long book. Put it on the shelf like this with commentaries. It's like that. But the first of each thousand shlokas is one of the letters of the Gayatri Mantra. So there you are, that's a secret. If you want to know what the Gayatri Mantra is, read the entire Ramayana. Because by the time you finish, you'll be ready for it. Okay. So, sharanagati. So we have the Balakanda, when Lord Ram was a child, the Ayodhya Kanda, when he was in Ayodhya, the Aranya Kanda. Aranya means what? Forest, yes. Devotees always say, don't we, the Namasharanya forest, or the forest of Namasharanya. But if you actually translate that, what we're actually saying is the forest of Naimish forest. The forest of Naimish forest. It's like we always do that with the Rath car. Okay? Rath means car. So when devotees say, they're bringing the Rath car to Rathyatra. They're bringing the Rath car. What they're actually saying is, they're bringing the car. Anyway, just... So the first one is, let's see if this works. Oh my gosh, yes it does. If I was really organized, I'd have it up on a screen, wouldn't I? So the first surrender is, put your hands in the air like this. Put your hands in the air. That's good. And stay that way. Okay. Stay that way if you need surrendering. And you say, Pahimam. 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 Okay. Which means, did I tell you to put your hands down? Join the cult. Which means, save me, save me, save me. So this is how the demigods approach the ocean of milk and they pray to the Lord to please save us. It is a Sharanagati which is conditioned by the desire to be saved. It is really rather like Draupadi. She does the same thing. Oh, God, save me. God, save me. Govinda, 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 save me. Please save me. So there's some motivation. It's not pure, but no one's pure in the beginning, so Sharanagati takes effect. So what do they say? They say, Tvam kadim paramadeva sarveshram na parantapa. We cannot handle the torture of the Rakshasas. We request the Lord to be born in Bhuloka to save us. And the Lord tells the Devas, Dasa Varsha Sahasrani, Dasa Varsha Sadanicha, that he will live in Bhuloka for 11,000 years and save them. So this is in every Bollywood movie that you've ever seen of the Ramayana. The demigods go, Pahimam, Pahimam, Pahimam. But this is a legitimate thing. You're being crushed. God save me. God save me. God save me. Especially when you know that there's no one else that can save you. When you know that you have no other options. The difficulty is thinking, Sharanagati cannot take place if you think that you have other options. That's the thing. And therefore, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, we hear that if you think you have other options, these are the, what are they called? The fallible soldiers. The fallible soldiers. If you think that your society, family, friends, political masters, monarch, if you think that any of them will help you, then you have a diversion to your Sharanagati. So the aim of the soul is to come to this point of Sharanagati. So then we go to Ayodhya Khanda. And then in here we find that Lord Ram has been banished to the forest. And who surrenders to Ram? Who surrenders to Ram? Well, it's his own brother Bharata. And he does Sharanagati at Chitrakut. He says, Tasyame dasabhutasya prasadam garatham argasi. He requests Ram to come back to Ayodhya. And I will be your servant. And Sita. Now, the acharyas have commented that if you do make your Sharanagati, God save me, God may be busy. And it may take some time, you see. But as soon as you've uttered that prayer, you are a different person. There are a different set of circumstances that govern your life, that start to govern your life. And God will move in a way to bring you closer and closer. At this time, Lord Ram could not accept the surrender of his own brother, Bharata. Why? Because he had to spend time in exile. Because for him, he had one motto in his life at that point, Pitru Vakya Paribhalanam, honoring his father's words. So the Sharanagati actually took 14 years to materialize. Interesting. You interested? I hope so. Someone's not interested. Srinivas. Thank you. So then we find Sometimes a person utters the prayers of Sharanagati, and he has partial faith. He doesn't utter them in full faith. God save me. But then, as soon as the turbulence is over in the cabin, he goes back to forgetting God. Okay? You know, there's no people who don't utter Sharanagati in a plane that's going like that. I was on a plane that was going like that from Qatar, from Doha in Qatar. We flew over the ocean. And the plane was going like this. And everybody was, Allahu Akbar. We're bringing them from Arabia to Bombay. So, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Allahu Akbar. There was nobody that wasn't saying something in that. And as soon as it was over, everyone went back to chit-chat, chit-chat, chit-chat. So it may not be full surrender and full faith. But still, the Lord accepts that based on the... still, he's so desirous of us to surrender. But what he does at that point is he starts providing you with a conducive environment, such as satsang. Satsang, discourses, books of knowledge, people that you meet. How many devotees have told you that, well, you know, I was looking, and then I met a devotee, and then I met the same devotee 200 miles away. I said, well, that's a coincidence. The devotee said, no, it's not. Krishna's looking for you. Then I met that same devotee in London at the Ratha Yatra. Then, isn't it? Everybody. That's why everybody loves a How I Came to Krishna Consciousness story. It's the most wonderful story because it's a story of Sharanagati. That the prayer once uttered has brought you closer and closer and closer. Then I met this person. Then I got a book. And then I did this and I did that. And then it was like some miracle. Then the sky opened up and I heard violins and tears were rolling down my face and I said, I surrender. And then the police took me away. So many miracles are there. So many miracles are there because the Lord keeps raising the bar until you become a full devotee. So at no time in the cycle, the person then falls. Tesham aham samudartham mrityu. Krishna will come. For one who worships me, giving up all his activities to me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, for him I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So then in the Aranyakanda, we also find, excuse me, that was the Ayodhya Kanda. And from the Aranyakanda, when Lord Rama is in the forest, the Aranyakanda is also known as the Moksha Kanda, because Lord Rama gives moksha freely to several people, including, as we heard from Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj the other night, two nights ago, Jatayu, Shabari, and the rishis, they also come to Rama for two reasons, because it's the obvious thing to do, knowing who he is, and also to save them from the Rakshasas. And here's their prayer. They say that Ram should save them as a mother would save a child in the womb. Garbhabhuta. The child in the womb does not ask its mother to protect him. Naturally expects the mother to protect the child. Unfortunately, that is no longer the case in Kali Yuga. Terrible, terrible shame of this Kali Yuga that you're not safe even in your mother's womb. Even in your mother's womb. It's incredible. Kali Yuga is so... For God's sake, it's 2019. Yes, it's 2019. And how many abortions are being performed every single day? Every single day. Huh? Every single day. And anyway, we could go down that particular... But we won't. So they say, as a mother naturally protects the child in the womb, my dear Lord, please protect us. So then in the Kishkinda Kanda, Sharanagati is being done by Sugriva, and the Lord bestows all wealth and kingdom to Sugriva, but he says to Hanuman, Sugrivam Sharanam Gadha. He's indicating, and this is, of course, the acharyas pull this out, that because Hanuman, because you're his guru, you have brought him to me. I didn't know Sugriva, you did. He's the intermediary. So the acharyas like to bring this out, that Hanuman is the guru. Of course, we think of, you know, everybody asks, who is Hanuman? You say, oh, Hanuman's the monkey warrior. And that's it. We sort of, there's a little code, isn't it? Here's Ram, here's Sita, here's Lakshman. And there's Hanuman, the monkey warrior. There's a little smile, and we look at the children, and we say, he was a monkey warrior. Hanuman was the guru. He was the intermediary between so many and Ram, who is God. So don't, you know, relegate him just being a monkey warrior. He was the guru, he was the acharya. So he's bringing Sugriva. And therefore, we can see that in the matter of Sharanagati, there is always a guru. Now, in our ISKCON movement, we get ourselves tied up in knots, don't we? And we teach courses and we write books on the subject and everything like this. And I'm sure that the good Lord is looking upon us and having a bit of a laugh. Because ultimately, he is the person who's making all these arrangements. He's the person who makes all these arrangements, you know. And he looks down at ISKCON and he says, don't tell me what guru is. He said, I know what a guru is. I'm God. And whether you like it or not, whether your institution likes it or not, whether your courses on guru disciple like it or not, I'll make arrangements for this person. And the guru is who I tell that person it is. And sometimes you can be very surprised. I'm not saying this to thwart, you know, GBC authority. I'm just saying that it goes on, whether you like it or not, in different ways. Because Sharanagati must take place. And God, within the heart of an individual, moves that individual to take shelter wherever he or she can. And for an organization that has now 50 years old, but has not yet reached every town and village, you cannot say, well, everybody has to take shelter of an ISKCON guru if you're not in every town and village. If you're in every town and village, then you can make that stipulation. But if you're not already there, God has to make another arrangement because Sharanagati must be happening before that person dies. So try and understand it goes on whether you like it or not. I was speaking to a sannyasi, you know, a few weeks ago, and he came to Krishna. He speaks fluent Hindi, speaks fluent Bengali, but he's from California. So he's there in Bengal speaking. He's not an ISKCON sannyasi. I said, did you hear about it? He said, no, I didn't hear about ISKCON at all. I said, how can you be in California and not hear about ISKCON? Then I looked at the map, and we have a couple of centers, you know, San Francisco, Berkeley, Los Angeles, San Diego, Laguna Beach. They're all sort of clumped at the bottom. But anywhere else in California, you may be, you know, it's not just because we've distributed books in every town and village that people can make a surrender. One of my friends was, he was in a hotel, and he walked past the door. It was in Sweden, and someone was inside the room, and it was going, Herr Kirsner, Herr Kirsner, 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 Herr, Herr, Herr. And he was chuckling to himself. He said, you don't even know how to pronounce the Maha Mantra just by getting a book. You need the person. You need a person. So Lord Ram sends persons. Okay? And we get all the philosophical mangling. Well, the person is the book because it's the book Bhagavad. Yes, we know that. But do you think that people are interested in theological niceties? Or do you think they're actually interested in personal compassion and guidance? And don't say people get bhajana kriya from a book, because Prabhupada didn't say that. You see? So it's all personal. Are you extending yourself to the person? Are you allowing yourself to be used as an instrument of Sharanagati? So this is important. Anyway, you cannot get it unless God wants it. And God will only reach out to you when he wants to. Therefore, in the Katha Upanishad 1.2.23, we find, Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo name dayana bahudha shrutena yamivaishavrinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vivrunute tanum swam. So only when the Lord thinks about you. And isn't it nice to think that if you're sitting here with tilak on your forehead, you've dedicated yourself to this life. Isn't it nice to think that Krishna thought about you. Isn't that nice? Krishna actually thought about you. He's not some remote on the other side of that black hole God. Okay? He's not remote. He's closer to you than your own eyelashes. And he thinks about you. Isn't that wonderful? It's a wonderful thought. Only if you just hold that thought, and then the surrender becomes a little bit easy. So we want to attract the Lord to us. So the question may be raised, what qualification did Sugriva have? He just had doubts about Ram's capabilities to kill Vali. He didn't even have any confidence at all. Not even thinking that he was God or anyone special. He just didn't think. He's thinking, I need this person to. So that's why the Lord accepted him on the strength of the recommendation of Hanuman, the Guru. In the Sundarakanda, there are two Sharanagatis, and the importance of it is talked about by Sita. So the first Sharanagati was the crow, Kaka. Ah, 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 ah. Kaka, Kakasura. Kakasura, who attacked Sita, he surrendered. And the second was Trijata. Trijata, who is the daughter of the brother of Ravana, whose name was Vibhishan, and also Karan, Dushana, and Kumbhakarna. Anyway, she was the sister. So Saparnika was one sister, and the other sister was Trijata. And she had a dream. I have a dream. So she had a dream, and in the dream, it was a horrible dream, she saw a terrible Rakshasa dragging the body of Ravana to the south. Oh no, a donkey dragging Ravana's body to the south and dumping the body in a pit full of dung. And his body was covered in red. And he was dressed in black. She saw this dream. And then she saw all the bad omens in the dream. So then she went to her sisters who were trying to harass Sita in the Ashokvan. Sita was sitting surrounded by these demonesses who were trying to, you know, pitchfork her, trident her into surrendering to Ravana. But unless there is the willingness to surrender, okay, then you cannot surrender. So she said please, now my sisters, fold your hands and be accepted by Sita, because if you're accepted by Sita, you will be accepted by the Lord as well. Prani pada prasanahi maitili janaka maja alamesha paritratam rakshasim mahato bayadu bavadu. So, also in this kandam, we're coming to the end now. Sita educates Ravana on doing a Sharanagati, even though he had committed a sin by kidnapping her. Vihita saha dharmajaya Sharanagata vatsala tena maitri bhavatu te iti jivitu michasi. She says that if Ravan does Sharanagati, Ram will accept it and he will let you go. Which, of course, Ravana just laughs. So, this next one, almost the last one, the Yuddha Kanda, or the fighting Kanda, is the most talked about by the Acharyas for the completeness of Sharanagati done by Vibhishan. Vibhishan is Ravana's brother, but he has a change of heart, and he comes. And that's the whole story where he comes, and the monkeys have a conflab. You know, they're talking about it amongst themselves, and they said, look, he's Ravana's brother. He's come here. He's a spy. We shouldn't let him in. You know, who's he to think that he can come into our camp? We're just on the eve of battle. You know, he shouldn't. So then Ram tells his stories and coaxes the monkeys to have consideration of Dharma. And besides, here's Vibhishan coming. And he's floating. He's standing in the air with folded hands. And he's surrendering to Ram. And that's when Ram utters his very famous prayers. He says, and I'll read these to you. He says, the famous prayers which are utterable by each of us. Each of us can utter these prayers. Mitra bhavena sampraptam na tyajeyam katam jana dosho yadyapi tasya syat satam etad agaritam sakrideva prapanaya tava smriti chayuchate yachate abhayam sarvabhutebhyo dadami etad pratam mama. I cannot refuse. Please repeat with me. I can to receive under any circumstances one who has come to me in a friendly spirit, even if there is wickedness in him. His acceptance is not reprehensible in the eyes of good people. This is us. This is the Lord saying, I will accept you, even if there's some other motivations, I will accept you. Why? Here we go. It is my eternal principle that if any living being takes shelter of me even once, saying, I am yours, then I award that person freedom from all fear. So this is Lord Rama's promise. So of course, we know the story of Ramanujacharya, who was telling this story, and the monkeys were telling all the wicked disqualifications of Vibhishan and what he'd done in his life and everything like that. And a person, one of the disciples of Ramanujacharya, stood up, and he, with tears in his eyes, he just made his pranams, and he was about to walk away. And Ramanuja said, why are you? He said, because I've just heard the list of qualifications. He said, I've got those qualifications, and I know that I will never be accepted into Lord Ram's inner circle. And he said, no, sit down. He said, you don't understand. He said, once having made your surrender, he said, I will take you to Lord Ram. I will take you to Lord Ram personally. And that is why in every initiation, the Sri Vaishnava thinks, I am Ramanuja Dasan, that I am this is my guru, and this is my acharya. Ramanuja acharya is my acharya, this is my guru. And they don't fight about it. Is it Prabhupada or is it a guru? Is it a guru or is it Prabhupada? I said, well, you don't have to fight about it. This fighting comes from the mode of passion. Mode of passion always creates division. That's its job. So creatures who are in the mode of passion will always have division. Is it rugby league or rugby union? Is it Democrat or Republican? Is it Labour or Conservative? And we will always go towards, the two divisions. And each of those divisions will then go towards another two, and this is how you get fractures. We don't need to fight about it. It's already working in the heart of everybody. Whatever your understanding is there because God has put it there, or ignorance has put it there, and you're working with it. we just have to cope. That's why it's difficult in a movement such as ours, because we're trying to cope with so many levels of Sharanagati, so many different understandings. But it's a Sharanagati Yatra. It's a movement. What is Sharanagati? Anukulyasya Sankalpa. Resolving to do things favorable for bhakti. Pratikulyasya Varajanam. Rejecting things in opposition to bhakti. Rakshishyati Vishvasa. Having confidence in the Lord's protection. And, important thing, no one else's and nothing else's. That's the hard part. Goptritve Varanam. Practically embracing the guardianship of the Lord. Atma Nikshepa, placing oneself as a deposit. Nikshepa means deposit. Okay. If you have a deposit account in a bank, it's called Leka Nikshepa in Sanskrit. Now, people still speak Sanskrit today. So if you have a deposit account in the bank, I'm going to put some money in my Leka Nikshepa. Leka Nikshepa, I'm going to make a deposit. So what is being deposited? My own self. The thing that is most valuable to me, I'm depositing that in the bank of Lord Ram, or Lord Krishna, or Lord Gauranga. I'm making a deposit of my life, my soul, everything in that. Okay? And you may not be able to take it out. You have to wait until it matures, and you capitalize on the interest at a later date. Atmanic shape. And then finally, karpanye, feelings of utter humility and helplessness. Well, why was Vibhishan's surrender of this very high order even higher than Draupadi's? Because he makes statements that cover all of these six aspects of surrender. All right, so I thank you very, 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 very much for allowing me to go 7 minutes over, and may we be blessed as we go towards Ram Nomi in just tomorrow. And Lord Ram's birthday is the most wonderful day. The Acharyas have fought for many years to get us a full day fast, but somehow in this little pocket of the world, we've sorted it out that Lord Ram only wants us to fast until 12 o'clock. Very special dispensation is going on here at Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna. Have a lovely day tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki Sri Prabhupada ki Jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai.